It's good to be with you. Thanks, Brother Samuel. I always really enjoyed my time here. I've learned a whole lot. Thanks for the testimonies that I've heard from former Amish, or just some of you have just recently pulled out, and a lot of stuff going on there. Brother Joe, passionate. Right before lunch, if you missed that, you missed a good session. And I know he might not have got through, I don't know if you got through all your stuff, but the what he told, the testimonies of the people that God has allowed him to be instrumental in getting a hold of and getting the gospel to, is amazing how God works, the Holy Spirit works. And I sat over there listening, taking in, because I don't know a lot about the Amish people, nothing like the former Amish or some of you do. And so a lot of it is very, all of it's very interesting. A lot of it's very like, wow, I didn't know that. And so taking it all in, it's been wonderful. And then Brother Samuel asked if I would preach maybe just a little bit. And I want to do that. I want to encourage you and stay in step and in theme with what is going on here. And so that's a good thing. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I have a verse here that just really began to... my mind began to dwell on, thinking of what I had heard and what had been presented as of yesterday, Friday. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, there was a verse that stood out to me, and I'm going to read a couple verses here, but my text is verse number 3, and I want to look at the simplicity of Christ, looking at the complexity of this order of people, this sect, this religion. You can call it many different things. And that's like us humans. We like to title things, title people, and that's just what happens. A lot of people say, well, why are you Baptist? You're going to get tagged with something, my friend. If you don't have a name, you're going to get tagged. Well, I'm a Bible believer first. I love this Bible, this book, because my Baptist little insignia is either going to burn off. I won't go to hell, but if you do, it'll burn off before you when you get to hell, and it'll fall off before you get to heaven. And I understand the denomination. I'm a non-denominate. You're still tagged, is what I'm saying. So don't get hung up in that. And the sad to say is the human authority that's placed in some of these different denominations abuse their position and abuse what God had said. Look, your authority, that leadership is a servant type leadership. And what I've seen predominantly consistency with your testimony, as I've witnessed yesterday and today, is that authority has been mightily abused. And it's sad. And what happens, this is sidebar, by the way, what happens is you have what we call a bleed through. You ever see a teletype or a painting, or you watch something, you have a bleed through come through? Well, in religion will do this to some. I have a lot of friends who, and I'm not against, bashing Catholicism, but Roman Catholicism, I have a lot of friends who are ex-Catholic. And it's amazing how what they get caught up in or get caught up in a way. And they're really hard on the Roman Catholic. And you're like, look, man, be careful of the bleed through of religion. Religion will give you a bleed through. And you have to be careful of that. Not God. God wants your whole being. He creates a new creature in you. And it's simple. It's not complicated. I love, as Brother Joe had mentioned, about the pen and receiving it. My brother uses one about a cup of coffee and about receiving Christ. You can hold that cup of coffee all you want. You can smell that cup of coffee. You can savor that cup of coffee as looking at it and enjoying it and knowing it's yours. You can talk about the beans that were roasted to make that coffee. You can talk about the water that was made to make that coffee. But until you take it and put it in your lips and receive it into yourself, it isn't going to do anything for you. That's just a cup of coffee. Christ is the same way. And he used the verse in John chapter 1 and verse 12 where he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. That's what we're talking about when we talk about, have you asked Jesus Christ to save you? And so there's a difference. Let's look at these verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice with me here the simplicity, but notice with me in verse 1. Now, I love context. Going to a verse and not grabbing the context of where you find it is very dangerous. And we're studying about a sect that has done just that. So watch the context. The Apostle Paul is writing to this church at Corinth, and he's dealing with false apostles who were in their midst, and he was trying to set them straight, and he was using a little folly, a little, if you please, a little drumming, beating of his own drum, just to bring them around to say, look, you bear with the false teachers, bear with me a little bit, and I'm going to try to teach you something that God has given me. But here, let's notice our context as the Apostle Paul lays this out, but our theme is verse 3. Watch this. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. The context is he's writing this to this church. Keep the context. So he's writing to this and he says, look, I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy, this church. And there's a reason why. He's going to defend it and he's going to teach them some truth. He said, for I have espoused you to one husband. Here he goes into his illustration. Paul's going to use an illustration between a man and a woman. And he says, but it's not the man, it's a espoused man and woman, so they haven't really come together. And watch the illustration. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. So he's going to deal with something that was not going to allow them to stand before Christ, the church, if you please, as a chaste virgin. They were going to mess up, and they were messing up. And it was these false apostles is what was going on. Notice with me, though, in verse 3, but I fear, lest by any means, watch this, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now let's read on. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And we go on. You say, I'm going to look at these four verses right here, but dwell on verse 3. So looking at the reflection of yesterday and the testimonies, and I have enjoyed them and learned a lot, and we'll take that and develop my thrust to maybe to the Amish people. I'm going to run across somebody and I'm going to use what they say works. That's what I'm going to do. But I know one thing that I don't want to do is I don't want to corrupt the gospel. We don't want to do that. And that's what we're teaching here is we don't want to corrupt it as religion does. Now notice with me here. Notice the first fear. He says, but I fear. Notice this, Paul had fear like an emotion. He feared for these people. These people, he called them brethren. He called them the beloved. They were saved people. These were saved people. And they were being bamboozled by some false prophets. And we'll read in verse 13 a little bit later to develop that part of it. But he says, but I fear. You say, what was the fear? Well, if you notice in verse 4, he says, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus. And so his fear was that these false apostles were preaching another Jesus. Listen, we learn and we know that if you have somebody that does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they don't believe that, they're preaching another Jesus. And by the way, let me tell you, as you develop your heart and your mind and what you believe, there is another Jesus that is being preached out there. Religion preaches another Jesus. It's not the same Jesus that we have been speaking of here these last few days. And the testimonies, they give a report of trusting in Jesus Christ, the one that was had died and was buried and rose again. And so we're seeing here that he had a fear. And you say, well, what were they were corrupting. They were corrupting that simplicity of Christ. They were adding, if you please, more stuff to what was going on. And you'll find that religion will do one of two things. Religion, and I don't care where you find it, I find religion. I was raised Baptist. Independent, fundamental, Baptist. And you'll find in that sect, because I know that well, I know a lot of people in that sect. I grew up in it. Is that religion is in that. Man uses religion. And you get caught up into that. And so Paul was dealing with just that with the Corinth church. And so he had a fear of them changing through the preaching. Another Jesus, but that's not all. Notice the second thing here is the corruptness. Notice here, he says, I fear least any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted. You say corrupted. I believe here he had a fear of them not only preaching another Jesus, but there was a corruptness that come with it. And notice with me in verse 4, as these verses parallel one another with these three things. Not only was the preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, and Paul was not preaching another Jesus other than the Lord Jesus Christ, he says here, or if you receive another spirit. I'm going to tell you from these verses here that there are other spirits out there professing a false Jesus. They're professing a false preaching. And so you need to be mindful of that as you look at religion, no matter where you find it, with wherever that is. It doesn't matter. As I see, you can find it all over the world in any different denomination. You have to be careful of the corruptness of it, the corruptness of the preaching, that it be corrupt, the wrong spirit. I've been in places, I've been in Baptist churches, and knowing that the spirit that was being put out through the preaching and teaching was not of God, it was of man. Now, when I say spirit, I don't mean something evil and creepy. They're out there too. But I'm talking a spirit generated in the flesh or the work or the power of man's flesh, his entity, his philosophy, what he can come up in his mind and his heart. And, of course, he'll tag God along with it. But it will be the wrong spirit because it will not be the spirit of God. God's spirit. And so here you see, what are we talking about? The simplicity of Christ. It's not complicated. It's very simple. But men, corrupt men go about to do just that. And they damn souls to a devil's hell. And so we see here that he feared of the beguiling or the subtlety in the minds, that they should be corrupted. Your mind and your heart gets corrupted by false preaching and false pretense, and you become blind. Because they are false in verse 13, let's notice now the rest of our chapter and our context. Notice with me in verse 13, for such are false apostles. Watch as he develops and he describes them. Deceitful workers, they're not slothful. They're very diligent about what they do. A lazy worker, you don't really have to worry too much about that type of a person. He's going to diligently do after his work, and it will be deceit. Here these were in this context, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So there was something that they understood to get the right or the corrupt preaching out. They needed to change them and make them look like ministers of Christ. Those are the most deceitful of all preachers and people who pretend to be more righteous or righteous in their, so people can listen to them and would believe them. Be careful of this. That's religion. Now watch this. Transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, verse 14, and no marvel. He says, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, you say Satan has ministers dealing with men? You bet you. And if you don't believe that, you've got another thought coming. We got more sessions coming. We're going to see how Satan can use men with righteousness and with religion, the word of God, with anything else he can get his hands on, supposedly from God, to deceive people. They have a lot to answer for, these people, these false apostles here in our context, false ministers and false preachers. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. False, vain, empty, and that's the end of them. But notice the corruptness that it is. Number one, I want to say two things about this corruptness before we move to our last point. They corrupt God's word. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would turn with me, we're right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Let me lead into this, this corrupt. I have two corruptness, and we'll just keep it at two. There's multiple ones, but I want to watch and respect our time. But in looking at this corruptness, I want to say that they corrupt the word of God. You say, why is this so important? I'm going to say it like this. When you go to school, they begin to teach you certain things, Bible school, and you can learn this from a good pastor, matter of fact, that's where it should be in a church. The church should teach and preach. You don't need the seminaries and the college and all that stuff. Don't think you do. Matter of fact, that will probably worsen you if you let it. That's just my thinking on it. Yeah, I went. Yes, I do it, but you got to watch where you go. But let me say this. There's basically four basic authorities that humans use. And I've taught this and laid this out here at this church, but let me say this because this leads into the corruptness of the Word of God. Number one, the world. We call this, I call this when we counsel, society. There are a lot of people who take society and use society to judge right and wrong. Well, is it right to do this? Well, is it right to do that? Well, if society has deemed it right to marry another man, then they say, well, that's okay to do. If society says it's all right to take the life of an innocent child in the womb, then it's all right. Well, society is going to say a lot of things that are right, depending on where you live. And we happen to live in America, and they got it a lot messed up. So if you're taking society, just wait around. There's a lot of creepy things coming out of the woodwork. And so using society can get you in trouble real quick if you're not bright. But people use society as one of their authorities. I've dealt with them, and you probably have too. The second one, authority that humans will use or man uses, is self. Man in his self thinks he is something and all that, a bag of chips. They think they're smart. We're smarter than what we really are. We're not. We're nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ and what God has given us by his grace. But man uses self, what you think, how you feel, how your emotions are. And so you'll use self to be your judge or your governor. You say, where does that lead you? That leads you, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. So man's way and self doesn't get you very far. Takes you to the end of your life. That's where it takes you. And then if you haven't trusted Christ, you know where you go from there. The third authority that man will use is religion. This is what we've actually focused on. We've focused on a particular type of religion and slant, and that there's nothing wrong with that, but we're really looking at it. But religion as a whole, man will use religion. Well, what is religion? It's man's ideals about God. Well, you need to do this, or, well, you don't need to do that. Well, you need to do this and this, and then you're right with God. Well, that's man's interjection. That's religion. That's what the world conjures up for their religious. They think God is pleased with that. It's kind of like Cain syndrome, as the Bible speaks of Cain's way. Generally, I tell people we have two types. You have a done religion, and you have a doing religion. The done religion was done on the cross. It's finished, and all you need to do is believe and accept it. The other one is a doing religion, and you're never done with that. You're never done with that, and it'll take you straight to the pits of hell. And so religion is the third authority that man uses. And then the last one is God's word is authority. That's the one we like using. I believe that's the one God has left you and I. Because how can he righteously judge us if we don't know what we're to be doing or not doing? Don't tell me God's word's not here. It's here. And so if you've turned with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17, here's your verse. In same context, same writer, same church. But they have another problem. And here it is. Verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of the sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. This morning I can stand before you with a full tummy and a lot of information and a lot of good testimony that we speak Christ. It's not a religion. And religions are going to go up and down, come and go, because man's involved. But God and Christ and the finished work on the cross, it isn't. It's never done. It's consistent and will go all the way through eternity. But man is good at corrupting things, if you've noticed. And he's good at corrupting the word of God. Why? It's because he can be in control of it. Be careful. And so we see, secondly, they corrupt God's people. Amen? They corrupt God's people. I like this verse in Luke, and I need to move on to my last point, sake of time. Luke chapter 11 and verse 52 states this, "Woe unto you, lawyers," and Christ was speaking in our context, and he was dealing with the Pharisees, the lawyers of the law in the Old Testament. And here's what he said to him. "Woe unto you, lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not in yourselves," and they did not, "and them that were entering in ye hindered." And they've hindered the simplicity in Christ. You struggle with salvation as simply accepting a gift that, like as Brother Joel had said, that had taken and had cost somebody dearly. And has given it to you and I and the whole world. And even Peter says, even the false prophets which deny him, he bought them too. But they've rejected him and have struggled at receiving a gift. And you tell me there's not men in religion hasn't blinded the minds? He has. He has blinded the minds. He has corrupted the simplicity in Christ. And so we see here not only the word, but the people. And so Luke chapter 11, verse 52 was that verse, and he spoke harshly to the Pharisees, and rightfully so. Thirdly, back in our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll wind this down. He says here, the simplicity in Christ, as we've been talking about. Notice with me in verse 3, he said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now notice with me verse 4, we've been paralleling verse 4 with verse 3, and we've talked about they preached another Jesus. That's wrong. He says, whom they have not preached, whom we have not preached, he says, or ye have received another spirit. Now, be careful with the other spirits. They had another spirit about them. And then watch this thirdly, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. And the Apostle Paul goes on with his argument laying with his church, but he used this verse right here, and there are people who will take a false gospel. He said, I just don't think religion would do that. Who do you think's doing it? The lost world out there that don't want nothing to do with religion because of all the hypocrites and all the falseness they've seen in the church, in religion, if you please, in the world. They don't want nothing to do with it. They're not preaching another gospel. Not from this book. It's the religious crowd. It's the person that shows up to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and any other time they can show up. It can be that person. It's not the backslidden Christian, because he don't want nothing to do with Scripture because he's got to draw himself nigh to God. And he's backslidden. It's the religious person that has corrupted the gospel and they end up preaching another gospel. Paul goes on to say in Galatians to the Galatians people, in Galatians chapter 1, he marveled that they, who hath bewitched you? You're so soon removed from the gospel that I had given you. And what had happened? There were some inside that were teaching and bewitching the people. Why? They had taken it. He said, they have preached another gospel, which is not another gospel. Means they didn't have another Bible. They used the same Bible here, but they have twisted it and changed it. And it's sad to say. You say, what are we saying this morning? I'm saying the simplicity that is in Christ is very simple. It's very simple. But it takes faith. It takes faith. I love what our pastor says. He says, you know, a lot of times people say, well, if you show me, I'll believe it. And it seems from Scripture, it says, no, and you believe it, I'll show it to you. That's faith, the equation of faith involved, and I'm thankful for that. By way of ending, Jesus Christ has come into the world to save sinners. We know that. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like what Romans chapter 10 and verse 15 says. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And these are put in questions. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? You say, how important is this? It's very important. If you care for souls, if you have an inkling of what God has done for your life. If you have not, you need to be saved. Because God will put that burden, he'll put that desire inside of you to reach the lost and dying world. And it could be your very family. It could be your very friends that God has chosen you to reach. An encouragement. Don't miss the simplicity of Christ. Amen.